But no, seriously, this week, be in prayer this week for church camp. This is a major, major life-changing event for our children. It is. So please be in prayer for it. Their memory verse this year is John 15:5. So I want you guys to read that verse, and I want you to be praying that verse. I want you to be praying that the children come to understand what that means in their life, because the Word of God changes things. See, when they go to camp, they don't just play games. They don't just bust water balloons and eat great food that Miss Gail's going to cook. They're there to learn about Jesus. So this week, be in prayer for children's camp. It's a great, great opportunity. I'm excited about it, and I'm not even going to be there this year. But I'm going to go Wednesday. I'm going to try to take the day off Wednesday to go up and hang out with the kids. I love being a part of that. I love being a part of a body that does so much more than just meet on Sunday mornings. I love being a part of a breathing, living body of Christ, because that's what we are here at BCC. We're so much more than just getting together on Sundays. If you don't know me, I'm part of the Celebrate Recovery team. We meet on Friday nights. It's another outreach that the church does. We've got a phenomenal team that makes that happen. I'm a part of that team. It's a blessing to be a part of that. I want to talk to you guys this morning about something that's very important. Before I do, I want you to understand. See, I do construction for a living. So when I go into a house and they say, hey, I need you to remodel my house, I've got cracks above the doors and we've got cracks over here and the walls seem to be moving. See, I understand that that's a lot deeper than that. I understand that that's a foundational problem. Because see, the foundation is the key to everything, isn't it? Everything starts with where you start at the very bottom. It starts with that foundation. So what I want to give you today is a foundational principle that we can build on that can change everything. Sometimes we just got to get back to the basics, because some of us don't even grasp the basics. Some of us love to give pastor questions about history and all this deep stuff, but we're not applying. It's not changing nothing. It's just stuff up here. Sometimes we got to get into some stuff that's going to stir us up and change us from the inside out, right? Something that's going to make us think, am I doing this right? Is my foundation right? If my foundation's right, why is it every time the wind blows, my walls crack? Why is it every time something shifts in my life, things crumble? Because my foundation's not right. We've got to grasp the foundation. It's so important. And I try to tell them when I go in there to work on a house, I'm like, well, I can fix that, but it's a temporary fix, fixing that crack up here on the wall. You've got to get somebody that can dig a little deeper and get down into the foundation. So today I want to dig a little deeper. I want to get into the foundation. Amen? Good. When I give you the thumbs, that's an amen and a clap. Cool? What I want to give you today is the principle of first fruit. See, in Celebrate Recovery, what we learn is we learn 8 principles based on the Word of God, based on the Beatitudes. And I've came to realize that when I apply these biblical principles to my life, things change. I'm free. See, because what I want to help you with today is freedom. One of the things that Celebrate Recovery, Christianity, Jesus came so we could be free. But so many times we get bound up. See, I'm free from drugs and alcohol. I'm free from pornography. I'm free from fits of rage towards my wife. But I'm still bound up in this area I'm going to talk to you about today. It's the reality of it. I'm not free in this area. So today, as I've studied for this, as I've prepared for this, the Holy Spirit's revealed things in my life in this area I need to work on. But knowing I need to work on it and doing it are 2 different things, right? So today I'm hoping you get more than just knowing you need to. I'm hoping you learn how to. How to make a difference and how to change some certain things. What I want to talk today about is money. Money binds us up. I'm not good with money. I love to spend money. My youngest daughter said her spiritual gift is spending money. Once again, I have failed. But she said her spiritual gift is spending dad's money. Not her money. So there's another area I need to work on. If we're not trusting God with our money, then we're trusting in our money. And trusting in our money cannot set us free. My money cannot provide for me. It's Jesus Christ that provides for me through money. But the money doesn't meet my needs. The money is not my supplier. Jesus is my supplier. The money is an ends to a mean. It's a tool that he uses to further his kingdom through me. So if I'm not controlling my money, money's controlling me. I've got to learn to control my money. Got to. Freddy's gets a lot of my money. Freddy's is good. Good. Just make sure you're here. Okay. Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get, and we make a life by what we give." There are more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions in the Bible. God has a whole lot to say about money, doesn't he? Out of the 38 parables that Jesus spoke, 16 of them have to do with money. And that's in red letters. That's Jesus himself. Out of the 38 parables, 16 of them have to do money. Have to do with money. Do you know why? Because Jesus saw and sees that money can be a problem. Money isn't always an answer, it isn't a solution. Money can be a problem. And I would ask you to raise your hands, but it's not Friday night, so you don't have to do that. How many of us in this room, some of our biggest arguments have been or are in our relationships about money? Yes. Hey, we've got a few honest people that said, yeah, it's not Friday, but I'll still raise my hand. One of the things, too, I love honesty with God. When we ask a question, we've got to learn to answer that question honestly before ourselves and before God. We have to. Got to learn to be real. Got to learn to understand that it's okay to be real about things. If we're not real about money, it's going to control us. We've got to come to this realization that money can't control us. It's very important to God that we understand money and how to handle it. You know why? God doesn't want money handling us. He wants us to be free. Some of us in here, we're so bound up because we've set our lifestyle so far above our means that our entire focus is making a dollar to try to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know if you're in the room or not today, Joneses, but I'm not talking about you. So let me tell you about the Joneses for just a second. The Joneses won't pay your car payment. The Joneses are bound up. They're bound up with bills. Every month when they sit down, you know what they do? Boy, my truck's nice, but that's $657 a month. Man, I got the new iPhone 27 that's got a screen this big, but I paid $7,000 for my phone. Do you really want to be bound up like them? See, Jesus wants us to be free. When he set me free from addiction, it's 13 years later, I'm still struggling with money. That's how hard money is. I gave up drugs and alcohol, porn. I gave up cigarettes a few years later. You can't just give money. You can't just throw your wallet away and say, I'm done with you. You got to learn how to handle it. You got to learn to do what's right with it so it doesn't handle you. You can't just throw away like drugs and alcohol. I can't just be great. We just didn't eat it. But it's not real. And what we said is we got to be real. We got to be the realization of money. It's hard to grasp sometimes. A lot of everything seems to evolve around money. You want to go to the movies, man, you just leave your wallet on the counter. You want to do anything, it costs money. It does. You want to have fun. You want to do things with your family. Not able to do that right now. We're bound up. We're bound up. God wants to set us free. The principle of first fruit goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. See, the beginning, talking about first fruit. Bringing the first fruit. Bringing him the first of our increase. Bringing him the first of everything. A lot of people think that just tithing is worth that. It's a two-part system. The tithe by itself doesn't compost to, but has to be the first fruit. By the way, just in case you don't know, a tithe is a tenth. It's the increase is what God says. Bring us the first, bring me the first fruit of your increase. The tithe. For all, that makes sense? I didn't know that for a long time. I didn't have it in my foundation. For every 100, it's 10. For every 1,000, it's 100. He made it easy, didn't he? Don't have no complicated math. It's just a tenth. He made it very easy. I spit. So if this microphone gets wet, I'm sorry, Pastor. When you use it next week, wipe it off first. This is chapter 4, goes back to Cain and Abel. Abel brought the firstborn of his flock, and he just brought an offering. See, God is first. God always has been. He was before time. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. God is number one. Whether you make him number one in your life or not, he's number one. See, God can't accept sloppy seconds. God can't take the leftovers. You know why? Because he's number one. He has to have the best. He has to have the first. That's why it isn't that he didn't accept it. He couldn't accept it. He couldn't. God can only take the first. He is first. And a lot of people say, well, God's number one in my life. Yeah, amen. He's number one. Let me see your checkbook. Let me see that credit card statement. Does he really get the first fruit? He doesn't always in my life. Wish I could, he did, but he doesn't. It's the reality of them. And so I dedicated my first child. Gave him that baby. Jesus. I gave him the business, Jesus and Jason, construction. I gave him my marriage. Don't ask my money. On Thursday, we paid. We cashed our check, and the first thing we go out to eat. Don't think about times. Don't think about God. It's about this. Is God coming first, really? So we do a prayer circle every morning. Everybody that works for Jesus through the business he's entrusted me with. And I challenged my guys one Thursday. I said, when you get your paycheck today, I want you to take X amount of dollars and I want you to put that aside other than your tithe. And I want you to say, God, this is yours. What would you have me to do with this? First thing out of one of my guys' mouth is he said, energy gets theirs first. So what did he just say? And I love the man dearly. He loves Jesus, but he doesn't get the principle of first fruit. The guy has to be number one. Some people say, well, I tithe my time. Yes, we should do that also. But we should be given a tenth of our increase. I'll get to that in just a minute. Wait a second. And this goes in for two. It's the first two books. All the way through. First, well, that's under law. The Old Testament. They said, don't tell us that. Bible. 13 says, to, your flock, said, right? That sheep could have high praise and did just mean with. Trust me that that goes in. So we can check your eyes. The divine. No, before we start, we should know what we're putting in there. This shouldn't be obligation or duty. No, before we get here. Did you really accept? Volunteer in here. About money. He can't fire me. He can't give me a pay cut because I did it wrong. But does that make sense? It has to be meditated in my mind to get it. I know a paycheck. Let's see if we get on there. Okay, just checking. Yes, we should already look. Faith. It always requires faith to give God the first, doesn't it? Or you can, you know, energy can't come first. If I give to energy first, is energy going to meet the rest of my needs? Absolutely not. It's a two-part. Faith and trusting, God, when I give you the first of my increase, when I give you that first tenth, that first 10%, God, that 90's always enough. Always. I didn't say it would be easy. I didn't say that you won't struggle. I didn't say you couldn't go to the movies three times a week. You can't go to Freddy's seven times and wonder why you don't have enough. But he said he'd meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, is what he said. Giving the first is evidence that God is first in our lives. When we give the first to God, there is proof that he really is first. When he's somewhere down the list, when you sit down to do your budget for the month, and you sit down, okay, and here's what I brought in. I got to pay my mortgage. Got these car payments. There's that iPhone 27. Most of our phone bills in here are probably more than $200 a month, aren't they? That's sad. Man, it's sad, isn't it? Wait, you got to buy a new lawnmower. It broke me last week. So you sit down with your budget, and you write down, you know, you got all your bills, and then God is the last one down here. You realize that's backwards, right? It's not anything biblical what he says we're supposed to do. Flip it. I want you to start flip. God, here's God's, and then watch how everything else falls into place. Watch how there's always enough to meet your needs. It's a promise from God. God's promises are yes and amen. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. It's a two-part process. Not only do we just give him a tithe, but we have to give him the first fruits. Two-part process to this. First fruits, tithe. Blessing. First fruit, tithe, blessing. First fruit, tithe, needs are met. Blessing doesn't mean that I make more money. Blessing means that I've got a peace knowing that all my stuff's going to be paid. I've got a peace knowing that at the end of all this budget, I'm not negative. I've got a peace knowing that he is who he says he is and he'll do what he says he'll do. But am I who I say I am? Am I doing what I said I would do? See, because when he became Lord of my life, he had to become first. Is he really first? People argue with me about this all the time. Well, I've got to pay my bills first. I can't afford to tithe. Oh, Lord. I can't afford not to tithe. I can't afford for him not to be first. I can't. I don't want money to bind me up. See, I wrote in my hand, freedom. Because that's what my prayer is today for you guys, is that through everything that God says up here, you can begin the process of freedom in your financial areas. So you don't have to sit down when you do your budget with your spouse and you don't have to argue and fight about this money. So you don't have to sit down and say, dadgummit, we got to pay that. Dadgummit, we got to give to God. We got to give to God what is already his. We're bringing it. I'll get to that in a minute. I get a little ahead of myself. Tithing is not an obligation. It's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. It's opening up our heart and saying, God, thank you. Thank you for loving me enough. Loving me enough to meet my needs. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts and talents you've given me for this job. If all you do, don't bicker and gripe and complain about it. Be thankful. Be thankful. It's not an obligation. It's not a religious act that we do. It's an act of worship. When we tithe, it's about our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about trusting Him. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, let giving flow from your heart. See, it's a heart issue, isn't it? It's a heart thing. Not from a sense of religious duty. This bucket shouldn't scare us. We should rejoice at this bucket. This bucket shouldn't put, oh no, they want money again. We don't want nothing. Do you want something? Because if you want something from God, why don't you start trusting Him and giving a full tenth, giving a tithe, faithfully, every week. If you get paid every 2 weeks, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Some people are like, well, do you tithe on the gross or the net? Let's not make it religious, okay? Let's not get bound up again with this stuff. I'll put it to you like this. Do you want to be blessed on the gross or on the net? There you go. Give accordingly. How do you want to be blessed? How do you want that act of obedience to come? Is God really first or is Uncle Sam first? Is God really first? It can't be an obligation. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. 2 Corinthians 9:7, another translation says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I always, whenever I do the offering, I always want to get everybody to yell and clap and cheer and woohoo, it's offering time. But sometimes I get excited and forget and just start yelling at you. Oops. We should be cheerful when this bucket comes. It's a time to rejoice. We're giving back to God, bringing back to God what already belongs to Him. We're trusting Him. Some of us give reluctantly or out of guilt. See, what that means is we're acting as owners of this money and not just stewards. See, a steward doesn't wait until the plate is passed. They've already planned and purposed in our heart what we're going to give. That's all we are, stewards of this. I'm a steward of this. I don't own this. If I ever think that I own this, there's never enough of this. If I'm a steward for the one who created me and created the universe, if I'm a steward of it, I handle it better. I'm not very good with my own stuff. You can look at my trucks, look at my motorcycle. I'm not. Let me borrow something. It's going to come back better than I got it. I'm borrowing this from God. It better go back better than I got it. Does that make sense? I'm a steward. I just manage it for Him. It's His. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Some people aren't rooted and established. The Bible says those that are rooted and established in the house of God will flourish. See, this is the house of God for me. My tithe goes here. If I visit somewhere else, I might give an offering at that place, but my tithe comes to this storehouse. If I'm here or not on a Sunday is completely irrelevant. My tithe comes to this storehouse. If I got to mail it, if I got to go online, if I got to set it aside when I get that check and bring it the next time I'm here, this is my storehouse. Your tithe goes to your home church. You can give to the Joel Osteen Ministry, hey, on TV, but that's not your storehouse. Your tithe comes here. An offering above and beyond that can go wherever you want to put it, and the Lord leads you. But just like sometimes I've struggled with this, we flip houses, and when you flip a house, you might make X amount of money. When you make X amount of money, it's a big check. And I'm like, well, I want to give part here and part there and part there. This is my storehouse. This is where my tithe needs to go. Is this your home church? Yes. Okay. If this is your home church, this is where your tithe needs to go. Needs to be planted right here. God is using this body, you, to expand His kingdom. You're a part of those. You will receive rewards for what happens through this body. As you sow, you will reap. Make sense? He said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Physical food, spiritual food. You get fed when you come here, don't you? We feed every Friday night. We feed Thursday night, Friday night, Now we're doing a Tuesday and a Wednesday night step study. Celebrate Recovery just took over the building 4 nights a week. That's food in this storehouse for the community. That's food in this storehouse for the lost and hurting. Not just physical food, but spiritual food. I have no idea how much we spend a week feeding Celebrate Recovery. I don't want to know. I'd probably freak out. Grasp my chest and hope we don't order pizza ever again. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing there will not be room enough to store it. It's only time. He says, test me. Money can be a test. I grew up very poor. I grew up borrowing money for milk. Remember, Josh, we grew up poor. We grew up eating spaghetti Monday, and then we had spaghetti Tuesday, then we had spaghetti sandwiches Wednesday. Then we had noodles with butter on Thursday. We grew up poor. So then when God began to bless me, it's a test. Am I going to remain to those roots and that whole, into that wholesomeness to everything God instilled in me? Or is that money going to turn me over here away from God? See, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Because when you start loving money, you'll do all kinds of things for a little more. Whether it's got to work a little bit longer, I got to work 7 days this week because I got a job coming. I can make so much money on it. Is God first or is your job first? Is God first or is that money first? God's got to be first. He's got to be number one. Yeah, come here, wife. Yes, I call her wife. Or I call her mom. She just gets so mad at me for calling her mom. Mom, I'm Robin. No, you're mom for the rest of your life. This is my beautiful wife, Robin. Hey, say hi to Robin. I have an illustration I want to show you for a minute, okay? In order to keep something, we have to give it away, is something I've learned through Celebrate Recovery and through the Bible. In order to keep it, I have to give it away. If I want to keep joy, I have to give joy. If I want to keep peace, I have to sow peace, right? Matthew 16:25 says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will find it for me. This right here represents your income. This represents the increase in your life, okay? So I want to give you a little demonstration of how this works. Mom, reach in there and get your tithe out. Get your 10%. So see, as she holds that belongs to God anyways in her hand, I'm going to make a mess. Who's the cleaning lady today? God's trying to pour more into her life. God's trying to bless her. Open your hand for me. Until she opens her hand, she can't receive anymore, right? We have to let go in order to receive. And you see what it does? It flows through her to bless other people. Her hands can only hold so much. You have to let go to receive more. If you pay attention to that, thank you, wife. This is a very small amount, isn't it, that tithe? All the rest is right behind it. Do you want that 90 to be blessed and redeemed through the blood of Christ? Or do you want that to be cursed? Because by robbing from God, your bank account is cursed. Your bank account will never be redeemed. I want my money redeemed. I want it blessed by Christ. I have to let go so that I can let it flow. Until you let it go, it will never begin to flow. I'm not a reservoir. I'm a river. The Bible says that, right? That we're a river of living water. We're not to be a reservoir. So until we let go, it can never start flowing. Money should flow through us to bless other people around us. I shouldn't sit sideways, and there's nothing wrong with saving. I'll talk about that maybe today. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with me being blessed. That's perfectly fine. But am I blessing other people? Got to let go to let it flow. Got to. See, but even after we tithe, let's not go that far today. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Am I seeking money or am I seeking God? Am I seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Because if I am, then all these things will be added to me. Or am I seeking new clothes? Am I seeking a new car? Or am I seeking God? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First fruit principle. First fruit, in closing, as I'm getting ready, did the band hear that? As we're getting ready to close, first fruit principle goes with tithing. A lot of us in here tithe, we do. But is God really first? I struggle with this so bad. And I'm self-employed, so I don't get a paycheck every week. I don't get a paycheck once a month. I get money when it comes in. And then sometimes money doesn't come in for a long time and you're like, oh my gosh, we're broke. I want you to examine your life, examine your heart, and I want you to see where your treasure is. A lot of people get a verse backwards here. Where your treasure is, there also your heart is. It doesn't say where your heart is, your treasure is. So where your treasure is a perfect example of where your heart really is. Is your treasure really in the kingdom? Is it really first? Or is your treasure over here? Because that's where your heart really is. You can look at somebody's, you can look at my debit card statement and see that my heart is in my belly. It's obvious too, isn't it? I eat out an unbelievable amount. I am not a good steward in that area. I've struggled with it for 13 years. Still struggle with it. We're going to eat Mexican today after church, aren't we? See, told you. But today, I want you to examine your treasure so you can see where your heart is, okay? You got to let go so that it can flow. Got to let go so it can flow. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you today for your word that is true, your word that is life. Lord, we thank you that you care enough about us, Lord God. Every area of our life, we want you to be Lord in. Lord, help us to see how money handles us or how we handle money, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, would the prayer team come up, please? Today, if you need prayer for anything at all, maybe Jesus isn't Lord of your money because he's not Lord of your life. Maybe at this point in your life, you've never asked him to be king. Maybe you've never admitted that you were in sin, a sinner in need of a Savior. That's where it all begins, is at that cross. So today, if that's you, any one of these people can pray with you. Jesus wants to be Lord of your life.